All right, turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. And I'll let you be seated. You already worked hard enough today. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, and then verses 10 to 12. Now, I'm not going to know how the message is hitting because I can't see smiles or frowns. Maybe just, you know, like, praise God, put your hand up or something. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. So many things I could preach from the book of Jonah. So many things you can preach about the man Jonah. I preached a message a few months ago called A Cry from the Deep. Even though he was in the belly of that great fish, he cried out to God and God heard him. Doesn't matter what circumstances you find yourself in. He even described the belly of that fish as being like being in hell. He cried out to God and God heard him. I could preach a message about it doesn't profit to run away from God. I could preach a message about the God of second chances. But let's see what the Lord has for us today. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. In other words, preach a message of repentance. Cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But, everyone say but. But's the revolving door. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down. Everyone say down. You see, when you flee from the presence of God, your life is always going to go down. Everyone say down. It's always a downward trip when you're going away from God. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it. Everyone say down. There's that word again. To go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. You see, this storm came along, and the storm was so bad that even the seasoned sailors were scared. They were seasoned sailors. They knew the seas. And they would have gone out if they knew that storm was going to come. It was a surprise to them. It was a complete surprise. And so what happens, you read a little bit further down, they began to cry out to their gods and they began to throw their stuff overboard. And all the while all this turmoil's happening on top of the deck, Jonah's sleeping down in the hull of the ship. And somebody goes and wakes up Jonah and says, Jonah, you need to call upon your God. They said, we want to know why this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, the Bible says, and the lot falls on Jonah. Verse 10 says, then were the men exceedingly afraid, and they said unto him, that's Jonah, why have you done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. They knew. They said, we know you're not supposed to be here. And they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm again for us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. And Jonah said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Throw me overboard, he said. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, it's because of me that this great tempest is upon you. Jonah says to them, you want to know the solution? You want this storm to stop? You want all your troubles to stop? You want the chaos to stop? He says, throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. You see, throwing Jonah overboard was the solution. And Jonah said, if you get rid of me, everything will calm down. So there's so many things we could preach from this account of Jonah. But today I want to preach this message. It's time to throw some things overboard. It's time to throw some things overboard. Nod if you mean amen. It's time to throw some things overboard. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for your word. And today, Lord, as we stop as we pause our busy routines, as we come here today, we put aside the distractions of the week that has gone and even maybe the distractions of today. We look into your word because, Lord, we know that our lives can be changed by your word. Through your word comes correction and instruction in righteousness, rebuke and all those things, oh God. So, Lord, speak to us today through your word, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory, and all the church says amen. Amen. It's time to throw some things overboard. You see, the bottom line, let me just start with the bottom line today. The bottom line is this: to be a Christian means that we are to live different from the world. Different. What does it mean to live different? It means that we are to live a life of holiness. We are to live a life of separation unto God, separation from the world and separation unto God. Yes, there's some things that we don't do, but when we are Christian, there's some things that we start doing. I'm going to read you some scriptures that paint that picture very clearly from the Word of God. The fact that the bottom line is to be a Christian means to be different from the world. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." The fact that you've been called out of the world, you've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. You are chosen. You are a peculiar people. And being a Christian means to be different from the world. Titus 2 verse 14 says, "Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us," speaking of Jesus, "that He might redeem us from all sin or iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people who are zealous of good works." To be a Christian means that we're different from the world. Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." You see, the bottom line to living the Christian life is this: if you're going to be a Christian, it is a call to be different from the world. Now, we're human beings, and if we're not careful, ungodly and compromising behaviors can begin to creep back into our lifestyles. Ungodly attitudes can begin to creep back. Ungodly conduct and behavior and the way we speak, ungodly speech can creep back. We can begin to go back to amusements that are ungodly, things that we used to do before we are saved, or we can begin to dress in an ungodly way. Many Christians will tell you, they'll say, "You know what? I've got these newfound freedoms. I'm still a Christian, don't worry, but I got these newfound freedoms." Let me tell you, it doesn't matter about those newfound freedoms. Let me tell you what I call it. It's called compromise. It's called backsliding. You see, we've been called out to be different. We don't go back to live like the world. Some people say, "I've got these newfound freedoms, Pastor. Grace covers it all. Don't worry. We can do whatever we want. God's grace just covers it all." Titus 2 verse 11 and 12 tells us that grace doesn't excuse ungodliness. In fact, grace teaches us to live godly. But some people may say, "Why has your lifestyle changed so much?" You can tell them it's because of God's grace. The way I live and the choices that I make is because of God's grace. Titus 2, 11 and 12. Look at this. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Here's the next verse. What does grace do? Teaching us. Grace is not an excuse to sin, but grace is a teacher. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. You see, grace teaches me to deny ungodliness. Grace teaches me to deny worldly lusts. Grace teaches me to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace is a teacher. It's not an excuse. Clap your hands if you know what I'm talking about today. And so when it comes to living for God, there is right and there is wrong. Many Christians, you may look around and say, Pastor, a lot of Christians are compromising. So I know some people that call themselves Christians and they're doing this and they're doing that. But let me tell you, other Christians are not our standard. God's word is our standard. We got to turn our eyes off the people around us and begin to turn our eyes back to the Word of God. Instead of asking, what is everybody else doing? We got to ask, what does the Bible say? Amen. We got to live different from this world. And so in our text, we have this prophet Jonah. He was a prophet. He was a man of God. He would have known, or he knew the will of God. He would have known what it was to live righteously. And God told him. It wasn't some impression that he had from God. It wasn't some sort of, you know, nobody else told him. God told him. God said, go and preach to Nineveh. He would have known what it meant to hear the voice of God. And after hearing the words of God telling him to go to Nineveh, Jonah chose to go his own way. Instead, he went to Joppa. He decided to go in his own opposite direction. We call that rebellion. When God shows you something, when God tells you something, and when you do the opposite, when you don't do it, you're living in rebellion. Jonah said this. He said, I'm not up for that. Those people, they're not nice. It's going to be hard. I'm not up for that. And so he blatantly just disobeyed God, and he received direction from the Lord. He heard a word from God, but he leaned on his own understanding. Proverbs 3 verse 5 tells us that we should not lean on our own understanding, but we should trust in the Lord with all our heart. So what did he do? He got into a ship that was on its way to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. Disobedient, yes, rebellious, yes. Resistant to the will of God, yes. Denying the call of God on his life, yes. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know some of us have been there where we knew what God wanted, but we just went in the other direction. And so Jonah goes and he gets on a ship that's headed in the opposite direction. And when he gets on board, he goes down and he falls asleep down in the hull of the ship. And all of a sudden, surprise, I guess it shouldn't really be a surprise, but to those seasoned sailors, it was a surprise because a mighty storm began to blow up and clouds begin to fill the sky and the wind began to blow. And now they are in a storm and the Bible says that the boat is beginning to break. They're in a storm. It would have been a complete surprise to them. And they know we're seasoned sailors. We didn't expect this. We can read the weather. We can read the seas. We know what's happening. And they knew straight away, this is something different. This is the wrath of God. This has come from God. There's just something that's not right about this storm. And so they're all up on the deck and they're bailing water, doing whatever they can do to save their life. And Jonah's downstairs and he's sleeping. And they said, what have you done? And he tells them, he says, okay, all right, take me up and throw me overboard. And when you do that, when you throw me overboard, we got to realize, Jonah says, I'm the problem around here. And when you throw me overboard, the sea will be calm. I'm the problem, he says. I want you to notice, they didn't say to Jonah, don't worry, Jonah, it's all right, man. It's cool, man, chill, man, it's all right. We'll find something else. They say, oh, no problems, Jonah, just stay there. It's all right, sorry to wake you, mate. You know, he was sleeping well, by the way. You know what they did? They didn't excuse him. They took him up and they threw him overboard. They just did it. Why? Because it was a life and death situation. Their boat was breaking apart. You see, throwing Jonah overboard was the solution. Jonah said, if you get rid of me, everything will be right again. Everything will be calm again. Jonah says, I am your problem. What you got to realize is that Jonah was living in sin. And some people think that their sin is just their own business. But your sin will impact other people that are around you. And that boat was breaking because they had a sinner on board. They had Jonah on board. And it's going to impact your close friends. It's going to impact your family. It's going to impact your co-workers. Sometimes we're going to get in a storm of our own making. Yes. And sometimes we may find ourselves in a storm of somebody else's making. Why? Because we allowed a Jonah to get on board. And so, yes, living for God can be so amazing. It would have been like that for Jonah. Everything becomes clear when you come to Jesus. The Bible says he brought me out of the miry clay, clay that's just messy. He brought me out of my mess and set me upon a rock. I feel that I've got some clarity now that I'm living for Jesus. I feel like I'm more stable that I'm living for Jesus. I can see the blue skies and I'm experiencing the blessings of God. And yes, Brother Raoul, living for Jesus is the best life of all. But when you allow something, everyone say something. Or when you allow somebody, everyone say somebody. When you allow something or somebody on your boat that shouldn't be there, everything changes. Maybe someone here today has let a Jonah on their boat. Maybe you've allowed somebody into your inner circle that's headed in the wrong direction. Maybe you're beginning to have a close friend that is running away from God, and they're influencing your walk with God. Maybe it's a person, but maybe it's a thing. Maybe you've allowed a wrong attitude to begin to be birthed in your life. Maybe you've allowed ungratefulness to begin to boil up in your life. Maybe you've allowed unforgiveness or a root of bitterness to get into your life. Maybe you've made a lifestyle decision, or maybe you've made a sinful choice, or maybe it's a device. Maybe it's a device that you've allowed on board. Maybe it's a place that you've allowed yourself to go back to. Maybe it's a group of friends that you're hanging around with now. God can't use you if you've got a Jonah on board. You're going to find yourself in all sorts of storms and all sorts of chaos. Things will no longer be clear when you allow a Jonah on board in your life. And yes, sometimes these things can be a Jonah. Certain websites can be a Jonah. Certain friends can be a Jonah. But let me tell you, when you allow Jonah on board in your life, you're getting fixed. You're fixed to have a storm come into your life. You got to throw some things overboard. Jonah said, I'm the problem. Throw me overboard. I'm living in rebellion. Throw me overboard. I'm disobeying God. Throw me overboard. And when they threw him overboard, a calmness came back to the sea. You see, mariners of that day, they didn't have GPS. They used the skies, the heavens for their direction. That's how they could tell where they were going. They looked at the skies and the mariners, those seamen, it was all clear sailing before Jonah got on board. Everything was fine, and they were used to looking at the sky to get their direction. And the reason the storm came, what happened is the storm came and the clouds began to come over. They no longer had any direction. They could no longer see where to go. I've come to tell the church today that we've got to make sure we don't allow a Jonah on board in our life. We've got to make sure that we don't allow somebody or something into our life that's going to stop us from having direction of what God wants us to do. Because when you allow a Jonah into your life, the clouds will come over and you'll say, God, everything's become unclear. Everything's become hard. There seems to be a storm. It feels like I'm breaking apart. Let me tell you, if you can get rid of Jonah, everything will calm down. There's some things you got to throw overboard, church. You can't live as this Christian life and keep these things of the world, these ungodly things in your life. I'm preaching it straight today. Jonah may be a person, he may be a thing, but let me tell you, that sometimes you see people, I've seen people that are on fire for God. Yes, they love God, full of passion for God, blessed and used of God. Then all of a sudden, what happens? They're not here, or they're not at prayer meeting. They're not at home friendship group. They're not praying anymore. They walk out of church. Soon as church is finished, boom, gone. Let me tell you what's happened. They got a Jonah. They've allowed a Jonah on board. They're not worshiping. They're not fellowshipping. Mark it down. Let me tell you, there's a Jonah that's come on board. The storm has come, and Jonah may be a person or it may be a thing, whatever it is. Let me tell you, God is speaking to people here today, and you know what your Jonah is. Samson, if we go to Judges chapter 14, verse 5 to 7, Samson was blessed from his birth. You read the moment that he's born, the Bible says, and the Lord blessed him. He was blessed, Judges 14, verse 5 to 7. And Samson was very much a tragic account, but we do see in the end that he was victorious. But Judges 14, verse 5 to 7, then Samson went down. Everyone say down. There it is again. Down. He went down, and his father and his mother, and he went to Timnath. And he came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he ripped up that lion. He rented as it would have been, rent a kid. That's like a little goat. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. What does verse 7 say? And he went down. Everyone say down. There it is again. What is it about going down? Let me tell you, when you're walking away from God, it's a downward spiral. And he went down, and he talked with a woman. And she pleased Samson well. Judges 16 verse 1. Samson went down to Gaza to sleep with a prostitute. When he meets Delilah, guess where he went? He went down into the valley of Sorek to pursue a woman named Delilah. Jonah went down, down, down. And Samson went down, down, down. And where does he end up? Not in a storm, but in the lap of Delilah. And what happens? In the case of Jonah, the boat broke. But in the case of Samson, he lost his strength. He lost his freedom. He lost his reputation. He lost his anointing. And eventually, he lost his life. You see, from birth, Samson was a blessed man until he found a woman in Timnath. Where was the woman? Read about it. Go back to the scripture in Judges where it talks about going down to Timnath. It says here, and came down to the vineyards of Timnath. He was in the vineyard of Timnath when he meets the woman. What's he doing in a vineyard? He shouldn't be there. You say, what do you mean? Well, he had taken a Nazarite vow. And part of the Nazarite vow was to abstain from wine, was to abstain from fermented drink, to abstain from any product of the grapevine. Where does Samson find himself? In a place he never should have been. In the vineyard of Timnath. Yes, he finds a young lion there as well. What's he doing fighting a lion? Let me tell you, if he had never gone to the vineyard in the first place, he wouldn't be fighting a lion. And there's some things that we're fighting in our life because we're going places we should never have been in the first place. We've allowed things into our life that we should never have allowed in the first place. We've allowed a Jonah on board. Why is he fighting a lion? He should have never been fighting that lion. Why? Because he's hanging out in the vineyard. He had taken a vow that he should never have been there. Why is he in a vineyard when he's not even allowed to eat grapes? I ask Christians today, joining us online and here today, why are we watching movies that Christians shouldn't even be watching? We've allowed ourselves to go in the vineyard of Timnath, being entertained by ungodly things. Listening to music that Christians shouldn't be listening to. We ought not have even been in that place in the first time. We should never have found ourselves in that vineyard, going to places that we should never have been going. Let me tell you, you're going to find yourself in trouble when you go into the valley of Timnath and you find yourself in a vineyard. Visiting websites Christians should never have been visiting. Samson was in a place he never should have been. He ends up fighting a lion that he should never had to fight. You know, there's some fights that we should never be even having if we hadn't gone where we shouldn't go in the first place. There's some storms that we should never have to sail through if we hadn't allowed Jonah onto the boat in the first place. You see, Jesus, he gathered people around him that would strengthen him, his disciples. And it matters. It really matters, church. Christians, it matters who is in your inner circle. You're going to have a lot of acquaintances. Going to be a lot of people you say hi and bye to. There's going to be a lot of people that you may rub shoulders with. But it matters who you allow into your inner circle. It matters who you hang out with. It really does, church. Believe me today, it matters. It matters, young people, who you follow on social media. It matters what websites you like. It matters who you allow to influence your life. Because if you go into the vineyard, you'll end up fighting a lion you should never have been fighting. You'll end up in battles you should never have been in the first place. You got to make sure you don't allow a Jonah get into your life. Hallelujah. You don't need people in your inner circle who are headed away from God. What does that mean? There's some people we ought to distance from. I'm not telling you to be rude, but you know that they're not going in the same direction as you. They're walking in another direction. They're walking to the beat of another drum. Don't allow them to influence your life. There's nobody and there's nothing worth going to hell over. Let me say that again. There's nobody and there's no thing that is worth going to hell over. Amen. Clap your hands if you know what I'm talking about. And so they took a stranger on board. Everybody say Jonah. One unguarded moment. Huh. Oh, sometimes we do that. Oh, but Pastor, they make me feel good. Let me ask you, what direction are they heading in? He found his first woman in the vineyard of Timnath. He found his second woman, Delilah, in the valley of Sorek. Look up the meaning of the valley of Sorek. What does Sorek mean? It means the valley of the vine. Sorek. He's there again. Didn't he learn his lesson the first time? When he had to fight a lion in the vineyard of Timnath? Now he's in the valley of Sorek. And the valley of Sorek means the valley of the vine. He's gone back there again, and who's waiting for him? Delilah. And he allows her to come on board. And what happens when he allows Delilah to come on board? She destroys everything that God had given him. She took his strength. She took his anointing. There he is, lying in Delilah's lap. And look at this, Judges 16, verse 6. It's going to be on the screen. Look at this. I wish I could just go back in time and just scream at Samson, all right? And Delilah said to Samson, look at this. This is what she said. He's laying in her lap, his long locks in her lap. She's stroking his hair. Tell me, I pray thee, where does your great strength come from? What does she say? And wherewith mightest they be bound to afflict thee? Could it be any clearer what her intention was? She says, tell me your secret, because I want to hurt you. I want to harm you. I want to afflict you. I want to mess your life up. And as he's laying there, he says, oh, but it feels so good. And I tell you, the devil is a liar. And sometimes it may feel good, but you got to throw Jonah overboard. You got to get out of the valley of Sorek and run back into the refuge that is Jesus Christ and say, God, forgive me. She was up front. She said, I've come here to hurt you. I've come here to afflict you. I want to hurt you. But he didn't run. Why? Because it was too nice. If we're going to make it, there's some things that we've got to throw off our boat. And you come to church, sometimes when you come to church, it's like going to the doctor. You got to hear a correcting message. Many times the doctor say, Pastor, you know, you're a few kgs overweight. It's not nice, but I needed to hear it. Maybe a lifestyle, it may be a thing. Maybe some entertainment. There may be a person, but who's your Jonah? You see, when the storm hit, they found the problem. What did they do? They threw him overboard. There's some things that we've got to throw overboard in our life. And when they threw Jonah overboard, you know what happened? The storm calmed. The heavens became clear. And you know, there's a lot of people that live in a fog. Everyone say a fog. Why? Because they've got a Jonah on board. They've allowed a Jonah on board in their life. They say, it's just not clear. I just don't understand anymore. Everything seems like a fog. Why? Because Jonah's on their boat. And they're getting ready to have a big storm and their boat's about to break. You see, when the storm first hit, this is another thing. When the storm first hit, they started to throw the cargo overboard. Listen to me carefully right now. I've got a word for somebody here. When the storm first hit, they began to throw the cargo overboard. What is a cargo on the boat for? That's the things they're committed to. They were committed to taking the cargo from here to there. But when the storm hit, they started throwing the things that they were committed to overboard. They started throwing the valuable things overboard. And you know what a lot of Christians do when the storm hits? They begin to throw the doctrine overboard. They don't want to read the Bible anymore. They throw the truth overboard. They throw Christian fellowship overboard. They throw church attendance overboard. But that's not the problem. They've just thrown out everything that they were committed to. Throwing out their Christian commitments because they didn't want to deal with Jonah. The real problem. And what do? They find the problem. While they're panicking, this is the way the devil is. While you're panicking, he's chilled. He's loving it. Jonah was sleeping. We've got to deal with the real problem. We've got to be honest with ourselves and say, God, Lord, help me to deal with the Jonah that's in my life. Jonah said, I'm the problem, and you need to throw me overboard. Did they throw him straight overboard? Look at what happened in verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. They thought, you know what? I'm just going to try a little bit harder. We can't get rid of Jonah. We're just going to try a little bit harder. I'll pray a little bit more. I'll read the Bible a little bit more. I'll go to church a little bit more. But I just can't deal with Jonah right now. Let me tell you, you got to get rid of Jonah. You got to throw him overboard. You can't just begin saying, oh, come on, I'll just work a little bit harder, pray a little bit harder. No, you got to go to the core of the problem. And the core of the problem was Jonah. And if Jonah's on your boat, church, here is your pastor today. You got to throw him overboard. Whatever your Jonah is, we can't make it to heaven carrying a Jonah on board. If you're tired of living in the fog, if the musicians could come, if you're tired of living in a fog of confusion, get rid of Jonah. If you've got a spiritual storm in your life, get rid of Jonah. Are you tired of things being chaotic? Get rid of Jonah. You've got to throw Jonah overboard. You see, the devil would come and say, don't worry, don't worry. It's all right. You can make it with Jonah on board. You can make it. Your boat can stay afloat with Jonah on board. Let me tell you, that's the devil speaking, and the devil is a liar. We are a peculiar people, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. The Bible says that the way to heaven is a way of holiness. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. The bottom line is this. If we are a Christian, it means we're different from the world. There's some vows we made when we were saved. God called us out. We ought not to go back. Samson made a vow. That Nazarite vow to not partake of the vine. And it all happened when he went back where he should never have been in the first place. I know God's speaking to somebody today. A thing, a person, a place, an attitude. What's your Jonah today? Let's stand right now because we just need to search our hearts. I know God is already speaking to people right now, and you know, you're like, you know what? Pastor's hit a sore point today. I don't know what your Jonah is, only you do. But you've allowed Jonah on board and everything. The clouds have come over. I don't seem to know what to do anymore. Feels like I'm breaking apart. I tell you, Jonah won't just jump overboard by himself. You got to throw them overboard. You got to throw him overboard. You got to make a commitment to stop whatever that is, or to end whatever that is, or to stop going to wherever that place is. You can't stay afloat with a Jonah on board in your life. And God is speaking to somebody today that's got a Jonah. If you're online, if you've got a Jonah in your life, you got to deal with it right now. Let's lift our hands right now, because the Word of God is quick and powerful as a two-edged sword. It goes in, it cuts it. It delves deep into our lives. It's a loving word from God today. It's a loving word. You can feel God's love, because it may be a tough love today, but true love will correct. True love will save. True love will speak a word that may be inconvenient, but will save our souls. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love today. We thank you, Jesus, that, Lord, in your mercy and your grace, oh God, you're speaking to us. For those of us, oh God, who allowed a Jonah back on board. For those of us who have allowed people or influences to come back into our close circle again, taking us away from your presence. God, forgive us. Lord God, we renounce it, oh God. And Lord, we're going to take steps to remove it and throw it overboard. Oh God, we love you, Jesus. Can you lift your hands all across this place in surrender to God right now and say, God, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for your loving diagnosis today, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for showing me what it was today. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to me about that exact thing that I felt uncomfortable about, but now you've confirmed it, oh God, through your word. I'm going to have to deal with it. I'm going to have to make some changes. I'm going to have to throw it overboard. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Just cry out to God right now. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, if we aren't careful, ungodly and compromising behaviors will creep again into our lifestyle. Attitudes or speech or conduct or amusements or dress or unforgiveness, whatever it is, I want to tell you today, you got to throw some things overboard if we're going to make it. If you want smooth sailing, I know not everything that's difficult in our life is because of sin. No. Sometimes we go through difficulties because that's just part of life. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But sometimes we go into storms of our own making, because we allowed a Jonah on board. We're going to sing this song, and we just need to search our hearts right now. If you want to come and pray, you can come and do so right now. Maybe somebody needs to come and pray about the Jonah. Maybe you're confused. You say, God, I know something's wrong, but God, what is the Jonah? What is my Jonah today? Because, Lord, I want to throw him overboard today. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. What's your Jonah today?
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Thank you.
Just lift our hands as we close in prayer right now, because when God speaks the way He's spoken today, there is an onus on us to not just hear the word but to apply the word to our life. Jesus, we thank You today for Your word today, Lord, a word we needed to hear, a word of correction, a word of instruction in righteousness, of reproof and rebuke, oh God. Lord Jesus, Lord, in all of it, we can feel Your love. Lord, even the tough love. Your tough love, oh God, a word spoken that may not be easy to receive, oh God, but is a word we needed to hear. Lord God, I pray for everybody that's here today, joining us online, who may watch this service at another time. Help us, oh God, to throw those things overboard that ought not to be there. Lord, we've taken vows, oh God, and we've come out from the world. And Lord God, help us not like Samson to find ourselves back in the vineyard in Timnath, or back in the valley of the vine, places we should never have been in the first place. Because we know, Lord God, that Lord, when Jonah's on board, Lord, we're going to be broken apart. Lord, our direction and is going to be lost. There's going to be a fog and a chaos, oh God, that You never ordained. We thank You, Jesus. So now, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord God, go with us. Let Your word go with us. Lord, during the week, give us fresh, timely reminders of, Lord, of what you've spoken in this house. And I pray today, Lord, someone here today has a big Jonah. And Lord God, I pray you'd give him the strength to lift him up and get him overboard. Jesus. I feel the anointing as I said that right now. Somebody has just said, somebody in your heart has said today, I got a big Jonah. I got a big Jonah. I can't do this. Let me tell you, you can with God's strength. You can do it with God's strength. Somebody here today has an addiction. God is speaking right now. Somebody has an addiction and you say, Pastor, I've tried. It's my Jonah. I can't get it overboard. Let me tell you, you can try, but you need to trust God that He will be your strength. If you're here today and you've got an addiction, I want to tell you, you can't do this on your own. You need God to help you right now. I'm speaking a word to somebody right now. I'm speaking a word to somebody. You said this. You know God is speaking to you because you said the words that I'm saying. If that's you today, I want to tell you, God knows. And because God has spoken through me today, God is speaking to you and saying, you just got to trust me and we can do it together. If that's you today, you can know that God loves you enough to stop a service and to speak to you directly. That's how much our God loves us. A rhema word, a timely word. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for everyone that's been involved today. Lord, from our hostesses and ushers to our tech team and musicians. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here today. Lord, even with the inconvenience of a mask, oh God, we're not going to let no stone cry out for us. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Everybody say some things have to be thrown overboard. Yeah, they got to throw them overboard. There's no smooth sailing with Jonah on board. Amen. Have a great afternoon. God bless you in Jesus' name. I give myself away.